God did not call you, listen, He didn't call you and me to live the American dream. He's calling you and me to live for Him regardless of the cost.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're super excited about today's program because over the next two messages, we're going to be tackling an issue that is not easy in the flesh to deal with. And that issue is simply to be content. I don't know about you, but I do not naturally gravitate towards being content. I naturally gravitate towards being discontent. It's a battle. It's a struggle. I must constantly set my mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Otherwise, it's very easy for me to become very discontent where God has me. I pray today that you'll be greatly encouraged and strengthened through this message and that you'll be challenged as well. That if you're living in discontentment, I pray that you'll see that God has more than just a better way. He has the best way. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, looking at verse 6, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, A Priceless Combination. Father, you tell us through your glorious word that, as your son Jesus spoke, that your house will be a house of prayer. We love to sing. We love to hear the word of God. But your son said that your house will be a house of prayer. There's power in prayer. That you are still the God of the Bible who still answers prayer. That we know that through your word, that since you're for us, who or what can be against us? That we know that greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. And so as the evil one has his missile lock on Christ's servants who desire to serve Christ, oh Father, we just press into you more to know you deeper, but then therefore to go make you known. And Father, I pray today as we just look away from self, look away from circumstances, look away from what we're not getting. Oh, Father, I pray today that we would see afresh and new through your word, through your truth, that what you did for us on that cross is more than enough. And so would you set our hearts aflame right now for you? Even as the evil one right now is pressing into us to distract us, to try to get us to think about what's for lunch and what are we doing this afternoon and what issue may be at work tomorrow when we arrive at our office, whatever it might be, that, Father, I pray that we would just again focus on you. Because as we sing, that as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. And so I pray that we would just focus on Jesus. For we know that at the name of Jesus, even the demons flee and tremble. Therefore, if they are going to flee and tremble at the name of Jesus, for the true believer, oh, think of the power that resides in the name of Jesus. And so as we open this word now, Father, you know my heart's cry and my greatest concern is that I would get in the way of what you're about to do. And so I pray you move me out of the way. Pray we would not see me or any other person in this room, but we would just see Jesus.
open our minds, open our hearts. I pray that we would sit on the edge of our seat today to hear you and you alone. And so, Father, we give you this praise. We give you all the glory. And we pray this in that name that's above every name. That on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether they like it or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we rest in his rescuing power and none other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Take your Bible. Let's go right to the great epistle here of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I pray you have a Bible. Also, if you have a notepad or something to write with, a pen, a paper, a lipstick tube or something, you're going to want to take some notes, because we want to be people that are not just in God's Word, but we want to be people that are consumed with God's words. It's one thing to read God's Word. It's a whole other thing to have God's Word in you. We're living in difficult times. I don't know if you realize this, but we are living in difficult days. And the issue is not that we have too much of God. The issue is we don't have enough of Him. We have more than you could imagine as far as devices and literature regarding religion and Christianity. And yet, in my opinion, we live in one of the most godless times of all creation. That as Romans tells us, that there's going to be a time where literally that God's going to say, look, I'm going to continue to hang in there with you for such a time as this, and my wrath is going to be withheld, but make known that my wrath, this fury, is being pent up for the day to come. And therefore, it's high time that the church, yes, the church needs to rise up and to begin to live what they preach. So many times we look at the world and we say, well, what's going on with the world? Well, I'll tell you what's going on with the world. They're living in sin because they're lost. It's the church that if my people who are called by my name will do what? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, repent about face from their wicked ways, then what will happen? Then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. You've been studying here over the past several weeks, I believe, a theme or a title of thanksgiving. Is that correct? Thanksgiving. Boy, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? You may be going through a trial today, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment. I got good news and I got bad news for you. The good news is this, is that Jesus is greater than your pain. The bad news is we live in a depraved life and this pain will continue to some degree. But again, we don't focus on the negative, we focus on the positive. And no matter how wretched you may be, no matter how challenging your life may become, God's grace is deeper still. See, therefore, we set our perspective and our gaze, and we shoot our gaze heavenward, knowing that we can live in thanksgiving, that we can thrive in the midst of difficulty, that your pain has purpose, that your pain is not in your life today, the disappointments that you may be going through, the disappointments that you just had this week, whatever heartache you're going through is not by accident, but it's by a sovereign God who graciously loves you, that the scriptures tell us this, that it's not only been granted to you, the word there is charis, it's not only been granted to you to actually believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Now, those aren't good words to the American church, though, right? Because no one wants to suffer. But here's the challenge, that if you scour the scripture from cover to cover, you see that those who God used in a mighty way were in one unique club, and that's called the suffering club. God did not call you, listen, he didn't call you and me to live the American dream. He's calling you and me to live for him regardless of the cost. That's why I love this text here in 1 Timothy. And I pray that we will look at this together and dive into this and just see what God's word has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Looking at one verse, but let's read 3 through 10 just to give us our context so we do not journey out of what
was hermeneutically intended here from this scripture. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 10, Paul writes to Timothy, "If anyone teaches otherwise," and by the way, this is the New King James I'm reading from, "if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness," make a note of that, verse 4, "he is proud, knowing nothing." Kind of interesting, isn't it? He's proud, but he's knowing nothing. "But is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes" what? "Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain." Now here's a strict imperative. "From such, withdraw yourself." Wow. And here's our key verse, but I'll go through 10. Key verse today. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Listen closely to verse 7. "For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content." Verse 9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition" or damnation. Verse 10, last verse. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Wow. That is sobering, isn't it? What is the context here? We know the context would always be king, that we do not just pull out a scripture and just kind of massage it so it sounds good to us in our time of whatever we need, but we want to always know context, correct? So here in our context today that you see this, that as Paul is speaking to Timothy, he's dealing with false teachers that have a hunger and an insatiable desire for greed. There's a greediness with these folks who are saying one thing about the gospel, but they promote a heart that is rotten and out of tune with God. But we do not want to neglect this teaching because it can apply to all of us. Amen? You're probably sitting there going, "Well, I'm so glad I'm not a pastor. Man, I'm off the hook on this one." Well, wrong. This applies to all of us because godliness with contentment is great gain. There is something to be gained in this life by having the combination of godliness and contentment. And so if you do have a piece of paper handy, I want you to write this down, or your device that you're taking notes on, whatever it might be. But the message title just simply, "A Priceless Combination." Write that down. People always ask, "Well, why do you always tell us to write things down?" Well, here's what I've learned in my studies is that the human ear and the mind and the heart typically retains about 20% of what you hear. I don't know about you, but I want to be a God-driven man that's God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-driven, and prayer-saturated. And for that to happen, I have to just saturate my mind and heart with God's Word all day long. Matter of fact, Psalms tells us this, that you'll be like a tree that's planted, what? By the rivers of living water. As you do what? As you meditate. In the Hebrew, it means this, to literally, to mutter and murmur. All day long, you are muttering and murmuring God's word to yourself. You know what that does for you and me? It keeps us out of trouble, doesn't it? Man, I'll tell you what, my mind can't go to places it doesn't need to go. The gossip, the mouth doesn't need to go where it needs to go, or wants to go, rather. It's just more of, I'm just saturating my mind and my heart all day long with God, His Word, and His glory.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
But you're probably wondering, well, what does this really mean? Well, this godliness, it really in the Greek, it's just simply this. It means to be holy. Maybe some of your translations even say that. It's a holiness. It's a being sanctified. It's being set apart for again, such a time as this that we know that we need godly men and women in the United States of America like never before. This is the day to rise up and to begin living for God, living for Christ, living for what God has called you to do, because we need the example of Christ in us, the hope of glory, going out to the streets, not just of Tampa Bay, but all over the United States of America. I mean, you see the dysfunction we're living in. You see the division that's going on right now. The lies and the slander from the evil one are at an all-time high, in my opinion. And he's deceiving people over and over and over. And it's amazing. As I travel around and preach at different churches, I continue to see, I see this over and over, this deep theme that I believe is so biblical and so true, that as the man goes, so does the home and the church. That we need godly men. Now, you may be here today saying, well, wait a minute, I'm a single mom. Hey, I got great news for you. We need godly women as well. That God has called you in your situation, and you may be in a situation today where there might not be a man in the home for whatever reason, but you can still live for God. That he's called you there to be that rock and that fortress for your family. He's called you there to be godly for him. That's why our first point I want you to write down, key number one, is just simply this, very simple. But write this down, walking in holiness is the mission critical foundation for contentment. I'll say that again. Walking in holiness, living is what I mean, not physically walking, but when you see that in, especially in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, that walking refers to living. As we're walking in holiness or walking in godliness, what is it? It's the mission critical foundation for contentment. The key in walking in holiness is that we must decrease while God increases. Literally, every day, we need to get up and pray this prayer to some degree, whether you say it verbally or to yourself. God, I want your glory today to rise above me. Man, I don't know where you're going to send me today. I don't know what disappointment's on my horizon. I don't know what rejection's coming my way. No matter what's going on, God, in my life today, I want your glory to rise above me. Matter of fact, if you insist that's the case, God's going to use you in a powerful way wherever he's planted you for such a time as this. And it's so important that we know that this walking in this holiness and this contentment is, it's one of those things which I get it. I'm just sitting there thinking right now as I'm talking going, this contentment thing is hard, isn't it? By the way, does anyone in the room today, now you're in church, so don't lie. But does anyone in this room today have this contentment thing mastered? Be honest. Raise your hand. Hey, you're in a good club because I don't either. I know where the truth resides. Mentally and intellectually, I got it. But it's one thing to preach it. It's a whole different thing to go live it in the midst of the fire. You say, well, that doesn't sound very encouraging or hopeful. Well, it is hopeful because we know this, that for those who are truly in Christ Jesus, yes, we've been justified and declared righteous at the cross, and that's a definitive point in time, but we're also on this thing called sanctification, aren't we? And we're constantly being shaped and molded and pruned and refined, and there's some really good days, and they're two steps forward, and boy, there's some other days where you feel like you took four steps back, but praise be to God, church family, that even when we're faithless, his word tells us this, he is still ever faithful. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Does that give us a license to sin, as Paul said in Romans? Of course not. If you've truly taken off the old and put on the new and been clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne, here's the great news. You detest that old man, that old woman. You don't want to go back there. So how do we meander through all this? Well, we anchor ourselves to Scripture. That's why the first Scripture I want you to write down is simply this. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. 1 Peter 1:13-16. And before I read that, I want you to think on this thought. If
If I am not daily in God's Word, how will I ever live for God's Word when the pressure of life mounts? Think through that for a moment. If we are not under that umbrella of protection, of under that covering, if you will, of being under the authority and the governing of God's Word, how will we ever live for Him when life just falls apart, when your back's against the ropes, when you don't know where to turn, you can't pay your bills, your marriage is falling apart, relationships are going haywire, you don't like the people at your church, everything in your world is just going to smithereens, so to speak. Where will you turn if you don't have truth inside of you? I'll tell you where you'll turn. I know where I will turn. We'll turn to self, won't we? And we turn to self. You know what we do? We begin to drive off spiritual cliffs one after the other because we're not under the authority of God's Word. 1 Peter, here's what it says. Chapter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's quite a visual, isn't it? Be sober. And rest your hope, on that beautiful, fully upon the grace, the charis, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a visual that is, amen? As obedient children, he says, not, here it is, conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He, capital H, who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, period, end quote. Wow. Isn't that good? See, this thing to be holy is not a suggestion. We have that thing in Matthew 28, we call it the great what? The great commission, right? Unfortunately, so many times in American churches, it's really the great suggestion. Hey, if you get around to it, man, if there's not a good show on, you know, hey, feel free. That's not what God said. God said literally in the Greek, as you were going. There's an assumption there that if you've radically been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you will radically want to go tell someone else about who saved you. So people ask, they say, well, why are so few people evangelizing for Jesus? And I think the question that needs to be asked back to that is, how many people have really been radically saved by Him in the first place? It's hard to go evangelize for someone who supposedly saved you when you really haven't been saved in the first place. Second verse, write this down, 1 Peter. Try to make it easy on you so you don't have to flip too many pages. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10. Love this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. What? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained the mercy. Isn't that not awesome? Here's the great news. People are like, man, I wish Jesus would do something for me. I wish Jesus would do something. God, you're not answering my prayers. Why don't you do something? I hate this job. I hate this life I'm living. My car keeps breaking down. The person in the parking lot at church didn't say hi to me. I spilled my coffee. Whatever happened to you today, I wish God would do something for me. Do you understand this? That God gave His only Son, that He was butchered and executed on a cruel Roman cross that you might live. I mean, what more could He do? And yet what happens is this discontentment just still filters into our lives, doesn't it? It filters wherever we go. By the way, when we're discontent, we take our discontentment wherever we go. When we're miserable because we're not getting what we want, I don't think we understand this to the degree that it's true, but we literally make everyone else around us miserable as well. Now, what's the positive on this? You flip that thing up on his head, don't you? If you're content, if you're going to praise God at midnight and sing hymns while you're in jail, as they did in Acts, they were not where they wanted to be, but they were where God needed them to be.
and they chose, they made a decision to say, I'm going to rise above the fray. I'm going to rise above this, and I don't like it, and I don't want to be here, but I'm going to go ahead and do what God wants me to do in this prison cell. Oh, as you live in your prison cell, metaphorically, and you're singing praises to God, and you're praising His name, and you're extolling who He is so that all the world may see that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, I can assure us this, that people are seeing something in you that they desperately want. But yet the master distractor, he will keep us discontent all day because he knows that if we're discontent, he knows other people will begin to see that. And why would they ever want something that's going to keep them chained to a never-ending treadmill of despair? Third verse to write down, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. I think we'd probably give a hearty amen on that one, wouldn't we? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here it is, having a form of godliness. It's the same word, but denying its power, and from such people turn away, ! End quote. Wow. See, this is so important that this godliness is something that we just don't go down to the store and buy. This godliness that we pursue is only found in the riches of Christ Jesus our Lord. As we press into Him deeper and deeper daily. And so many times, as we talked about even this morning here in this body, that you may be going through a difficult challenge and you don't understand why. We ask that question a lot, don't we? God, why would you take me to this point in life and then leave me dangling over a cliff? God, why would you bring this into my life? Why would you allow this heartache and this pain? Why, God, why? God, why? So many times His answer is simply, trust me.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.